We're in the middle of Likutei Moran, Tanina, Taira Hei, and we're actually up to the middle of Ois Yud, where the paragraph begins in the big, in Rebbe Zal's printings of Likutei Moran's, page 21, the right-hand column, the paragraph that begins with the words, V'ze b'chinas ha-simcha shel tefillin. We're not going to go into a long introduction because it's too difficult. We'll just refresh or drop the topics we last discussed, so as a lead-in into this. Now, we mentioned before that this chapter in Likutei Moran is the longest chapter in the entire Likutei Moran. It's very, very long, and it covers a lot of different concepts and areas. It's the longest, and it ties together many, many concepts. Before we can start tying them together, we have to learn each unit on an individual basis and absorb it and understand it. And Belina, there, when we come to the end, we're going to go through it again from the just showing how every single piece of the puzzle had fit together. The part that we were up to, the last topic that we discussed, was the topic of dreams, which the Gemara says could come from one of two places, either from a malach or from a shade. The Gemara says when a person has a dream at night, if it's a good dream and a true dream, it comes from a source of Kedusha, such as an angel in heaven. This the Gemara says in Brachas. If it's a bad dream or a silly dream, a foolish dream, either one of those two, it usually comes from a shed. A shed is something that's in between an angel and a human being, sort of, and it has negative connotations. In other words, it's something that's assumed to be negative. Shedim are beings that like to damage human beings, for whatever reasons. We're not going into that now. Rabbeinu Zal discussed that, and Rabbeinu Zal in this chapter was discussing ways that a person could strengthen the side of Kedusha. Excuse me, meaning, for example, in this case, the malach. Rabbeinu Zal said one of the things that's important is tikkun habris. According to how pure a person keeps his mind during the day, that will have an effect on how purely his mind functions at night. Because with the functioning of the mind at night, that imaginative power that brings out dreams within a person, Rabbeinu Zal said that imaginative power is actually the residue of what the brain was using during the day, what the brain was functioning with during the day. So according to how pure the brain was kept during the day, that's going to have an effect on what the brain creates during the day, at night, when most of the brain, in other words, in spiritual terms, leaves the person. Most of the person's secha leaves him, and he's only left with an imprint of what was there during the day. The last item that Rabbeinu Zal mentioned was that simcha is the item that's so we talked about tikkun habris, and Rabbeinu Zal also mentioned the union of simcha, that through simcha a person strengthens the power of the malach. In other words, these two opposing factions, the malach and the shade, if a person wants to give strength to the malach, it's through simcha. And Rabbeinu Zal quoted a pasuk, leiv someach yetiv ponim, that a happy heart benefits the ponim. Ponim means face. Rabbeinu Zal brought another pasuk that showed that the term ponim refers to a malach. There's a pasuk umalach ponov hayshiyam. So Rabbeinu Zal there simply connected these two items, malachim and ponim, and Rabbeinu Zal said that through simcha a person gives strength to this malach, so that his dreams will be good, so that his brain will be pure, which we also said refers to the concept of tefillin. We mentioned that tefillin represents the purity of the mind. The highest level of seichel is represented by tefillin, because that represents the highest kedusha that's placed on the head. And this is where we left off. We're going to pick up from there for now. If anybody's not clear on anything, it's possible because you don't remember what we did till now, or because it's not completely clear at this point. Don't worry about it. We're going to pick up. We'll do what we'll do tonight. And when we get to the point of reviewing, we'll come back and put everything together. Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'zeh bechinas hasimcha shel tefillin." Till now, we spoke about tefillin as an individual item, and simcha as a completely separate item. In this paragraph, Rabbeinu Zal is going to weave these two together. We see the Gemara shows us a clear association between simcha and tefillin. K'may Shem Razal, as the Gemara tells us in Brachas, Sher Rabbi Yirmiya have a bodach tuva. The Gemara says one day Rabbi Yirmiya was in a very happy frame of mind. He was laughing a lot, and his friends saw that he was very happy. So they asked him, "What are you so excited about?" So the Gemara says, "V'yomar," he said to them, "Tefillin kamenach." Mishnah, I put on tefillin today, and that made me very happy. And the Gemara gives interesting explanations as to what's meant by that. In other words, the fact that he put on tefillin made him, so he put on tefillin every day. What did he mean? Again, there are explanations for that, but the fact is, we see that tefillin is something that helps a person be in simcha. Hainu, kial yedei tefillin meichin, through the concept of tefillin, which represents the purity of the brain, nase bechinas hamalach kanal, is created this malach that we discussed before, from which dreams come from. V'al kein tzorich simcha, therefore the person needs simcha kedei litein chizuk lahamalach kanal, because Rabbeinu Zal had said that this malach requires strengthening. What strengthens this malach? The simcha, the person. V'halkein, Rabbeinu, okay, period. So we spoke so far about dreams that come from a malach and that are dependent on the purity of the mind, which is represented by tefillin. Now Rabbeinu Zal showed how simcha and tefillin are associated. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, based on what we just discussed till now, now you can understand some of the interesting laws in Shulchan Aruch. Understand some of the interesting laws in Shulchan Aruch as to what a person is supposed to do if he has certain types of very bad dreams. This is discussed in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says there are two or three solutions for this. One of them is Tainus Chaloyim. There are certain types of very bad dreams, Chas V'Shalom. If a person has a very bad dream where he sees, Chas V'Shalom, a close relative pass away in a dream, Chas V'Shalom, something like that, certain very bad items, he's required to fast. It's called the Tainus Chaloyim, and the fasting is supposed to help fix up the dream. Why? What does fasting have to do with fixing up a dream? Rabbeinu Zal is going to discuss that in a second. The Gemara says, if it's not that severe a bad dream, if it's a lighter type of bad dream, then another alternative to fasting is, if three people come over to him, and they say to him the words, Lech echol besimcho lachmecho, go home and eat your bread with happiness. Go eat and be happy. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain now how these two things, fasting or the saying of this expression, has to do with fixing up a dream. Rabbeinu Zal says, V'al kein, therefore, now we can understand, Kishecholam li odom chaloim loy toiv, if a Jew, chas v'shalom, has a very bad dream, hatikun hu tainis. The tikkun for it, the correction of it, is to fast. Rabbeinu Zal explains, what does fasting have to do with a dream? Kitainus hi bechinas simcha. Fasting is associated with simcha. Kamoi shekosov, as King David says in Tehillim, Samchenu kimois inisanu. Hashem, please make us happy. Please allow our days of happiness that we're going to have when Mashiach comes to be kimois inisanu. As many days as we had suffering, inisanu means pain or suffering, inisanu also means fasting. As many fast days as we had, in other words, sad days to commemorate Asara B'Teves, those type of days, we should be zeichet to have good days. So we see an association between simcha and fasting, that we should have as much simcha as we had fasting. In other words, so if we had more fasting, there would be more simcha. So we see that simcha is tied into fasting. Shaydei tainus naase simcha. Through fasting, a person is zeichet to simcha. We'll explain in a minute how that works. And we just said before that when a person is in simcha, simcha is what strengthens the angel from which the dream comes from, to make it into a good dream. And the person is there to fix up and to subdue the concept of the bad dream, which the Gemara refers to as a dream coming from a shed. What causes the dream to come from the shade? It's only if the malach, if the angel is not strong enough, if the power of the angel is not strengthened enough, then the shade gets hold of the shef, as we explained in last week's shiur, and holds on to it for too long a period. Then when the person gets the dream, it's very much affected by the shadim's holding on to the shef for too long. So Rabbeinu Zal says, whereas when a person is in simcha, he strengthens the angel so that the angel, the power of the angel, easily overpowers the power of the shade, and that manifests itself in good dreams rather than chas v'shalom having bad dreams. That's item number one that's listed. Item number two, V'al Kein, Rabbi Nezal says, therefore, Mi She'ein Roitze Lehisano Yisala Chaloim, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if a person does not want to fast for a dream, what's an alternative to fasting? Oimrim Loi Hameitivim, the people who want to perfect, who want to fix up his dream, they say to him the words, Leich Echoil B'simcho Lachmecho. They're supposed to say to him this special pasuk. This is what's brought in Shulchan Aruch. They're supposed to say to him these words, Leich Echoil B'simcho, go eat your bread with simcha. Rabbi Nezal says, Hainu Sheyiye Achilosoi B'bechina Simcha. What are they saying to him? They're saying to him, make sure that your eating should be with simcha. Shaydeze Mechazek Es Hamalach. The simcha is the ingredient that strengthens the angel, as we said in the beginning. Umachnias Hashedim, and it subdues the Shedim. Sha'al Yodom Niskalkel HaChaloyim. Through these Shedim, they were the ones that caused a spoilage of the dream. They're the one who caused a bad dream to the person. Al Yidei HaMa'acholim Kanal. Through the food that the person had eaten. We had shown before how a person's food, the word Ma'achol, is the letters Malach. When a person eats incorrectly, the food, chas v'shalom, affects his dreams in a negative way. When a person eats correctly, he eats with simcha, or he doesn't eat at all, he fasts. Both of those items fix up the simcha. Simcha is the ingredient that strengthens the angel. The angel represents the concept of good dreams, versus the shade, who represents the concept of bad dreams. Now, just one point, why does fasting represent simcha? The answer is, this is a general concept that's brought throughout Sifrei Kabbalah Bechlal. Spiritual simcha is a spiritual concept. It's a light feeling. When a person is happy, we say he's very light. In other words, he's able to jump up. The word besimcha we mentioned many times is the letters machshava, the mind. Simcha is a frame of mind, the spiritual, a very high spiritual feeling. Eating, achila, is categorized as gashmius. It's something that weighs the person down. Eating, the concept of eating, is a concept of depression. You'll note that most of these diets and everything, they say what causes a person to get fat if he's not in a happy frame of mind. People get depressed, they start eating. That leads to eating a lot. Because this concept of eating is a very physical item. It's the opposite of spiritual. So if the highest level of spirituality is represented by simcha, then it's also associated with this concept of fasting. Fasting brings you, it's fasting is subduing the physical and allowing the spiritual to take the lead, to take the power. So fasting is something that should bring a person more easily into simcha than eating. However, there is a concept of sudas mitzvah, or as we said here, leich echoil b'simcha lachmecha, where there the person takes the eating and turns it into gedusha. In other words, for example, during the 6 days of the week, the eating is categorized as a concept of atzvus, a concept of the physical world, a concept of the satan. On Shabbos, or at a sudas mitzvah, that's when the person takes the eating itself and turns it into simcha.
Between the two. Which is better?
The answer is, it seems over here that fasting is a higher form of tikkun. However, we know that Rabbi Nezal told us that we're not allowed to do it. We're only allowed to fast at the times that the rabbis of the Gemara said to fast. We're not permitted to add to the fasting routine. So therefore, we try to be masak in the other item that when we eat, we should eat with simcha. Especially the Birkas HaMazon should be said with simcha. Period. Which is considered higher, fasting or the eating with simcha? No. Okay, next. Okay, so we spoke about the ingredient which strengthens the gimalach, which helps the person be zeche to good dreams. Now Rabbi Nezal is going to speak about a specific time period when the malachim are strengthened. Rabbi Nezal says, V'ikur chizuk hamalach ubenisan. The main time of the year when this power of the angel is strengthened, the power of the angel versus the power of the shedim, the main time of the year when that power is strengthened is the month of Nisan. Ki Nisan Rosh Hashanah l'malachim, because the Gemara tells us in the Sechta Rosh Hashanah in the beginning that there are four Rosh Hashanahs in the year. There's Rosh Hashanah as we know it, which is the first day of Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah for the whole world. There's the next Jewish holiday that's coming up, which is Tu B'Shvat, 15 days in Shvat. That's called Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonos. It's the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. That's the time when the trees get a rejuvenation of their strength, of their power, of their sap, and everything that they have. There's a third Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The Gemara says that's called Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. In the time that the Jews had kings, the time when a king, when a Jewish king was appointed generally, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the time for appointing a new king. So Rav Enizal says here, Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. V'oz nischadesh kol ha'hismanus shel kol echad v'yechod. Melech, a melech means one who is appointed to a position of leadership. Rabbi Nizal says that when the Gemara tells us that Nisan is the time, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the time when kings are renewed, it means not just specifically kings, but anyone who has any appointeeship, any position of authority, he receives a renewed power, his authority is renewed and refreshed on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the month of Nisan. V'oz noisnin l'kol ha-malochim ha-hismanus shalohem. And Rabbi Nizal says, in heaven, during the month of Nisan, is the time when they give out all the different authorities that are distributed in heaven to each individual angel, is given out specifically in the month of Nisan. That's the month in which the willpower, the desire of Hashem, is also rejuvenated, refreshed. It starts anew. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says, in Doniel, Ovid Bechel Shemaya. Hashem does as he wishes among his armies in heaven. So note, the term Chel Shemaya, the armies of heaven, what does that refer to? Malochim. Ukemitzbiei, the word mitzbiei in Aramaic means ratzon. Ucheritzonoi oiseh b'chel Shemaya. Hashem does as he wishes, as his ratzon is, with the angels in heaven. So we see an association between these two, the angels in heaven and the ratzon of Hashem. So that if the angels in heaven are renewed, on their authority is renewed in the month of Nisan, so too the Ratzon of Hashem is renewed on the month of Nisan. Ki oz noisnin lechulam ha'hismanus shalahem kiritzayna yisporach. Because it's in the month of Nisan that this authority is delegated, is relegated to each one of the angels in heaven, kiritzayna yisporach, as Hashem dictates, as Hashem desires. Va'oz yeshlaham Malochim Simcha, and at that moment these angels are filled with Simcha. In other words, when they're given these elevations, when they get their raises, you know, their spiritual raises, they're filled with Simcha, v'nizchaskin, and they are strengthened, they become stronger and greater. Ki oz benison huzman hageula. Rabbi Nizal explains now how this, why all of this takes place specifically in Nisan. Ki oz benison huzman hageula. Nisan is the time of redemption. Ki benison nigalu. Because the first redemption that the Jewish people experienced was in the month of Nisan. The first exile that the Jews ever had was the exile of Egypt, and they were taken out in the month of Nisan. And the Gemara says, therefore, Benisan Nigalu uBenisan Asidin Ligoyah. Just as the first redemption was in Nisan, so too the coming of Moshiach is also destined to be in the month of Nisan. The Jews are destined to be taken out of exile, the final exile, also in the month of Nisan. So we know that Nisan is a concept of redemption. V'zeh yodua, and this is known. She'ikar golus Mitzrayim hoyol sakein chait odom arishayim. It's brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah that why did the Jews, this is brought in the Zohar Kodesh and spoken about much more in the Kisvei Arizal, that why is it that the Jews had to go down to Egypt? What's the purpose of the Jews going down to Egypt? That there was a period of time when odom arishayim, because of the fact that he had eaten from the Yetzer Hadass, he followed his wife's advice in a wrong type of way. She suggested to him to eat from this, and he followed her advice. As part of his tshuva for that, he decided to separate himself from his wife for a period of 130 years. He established a tainus, a fast, from relations with his wife for a period of 130 years. This was his manner of doing tshuva. Rabbi Zal once mentioned, we note a remez to this concept of the fact that Adam HaRishon fasted, that's the terminology that's used, he fasted from his wife for this period, in the fact that we know that Adam HaRishon lived a total of 930 years in total. The number 930, which he's the only human being on this earth who lived 930 years, was Adam HaRishon. The number 930 is bigematria, the word tainus. The Hebrew word tainus is bigematria 930. To show that the tikkun for the 930 years of Adam HaRishon was this fast that he took upon himself for a period of 130 years, during which he abstained from his wife completely. However, the Medrash tells us that during this time that he abstained from his wife, there were shaden who came to Adam HaRishon at the time, and they were mechamim him. They warmed him up. This is the terminology that's used in the Gemara and the Medrash, that these spirits came to him and they warmed him, and they caused, chas v'shalom, they caused droplets to come from Adam HaRishon, which were impure. So in other words, in a way, this was a tshuva that he was taking upon himself in abstaining from his wife for 130 years, but yet during this 130 years, there was damage that happened, in that these shadim came and they were mechamim him, as Rabbeinu Zal is about to quote this item. We see it over here. V'zeh yadua sheikar golus Mitzrayim hoyele sakin chet Adam HaRishon. The main golus Mitzrayim was to correct the pagam of Adam HaRishon. Shehoyu shedim mechamim enoisoi. During that period of 130 years, the shedim came and warmed him. V'hoyled shedim. And the Gemara tells us that Adam HaRishon gave birth to additional shedim. And this was considered a pagam. And it's brought that part of these droplets that came from Adam HaRishon, which in a sense were impure, where did they go? They went to the land of Egypt. And this is why Egypt, the land of Egypt at that time, was called Erevas Haaretz. It was known as being that country in the world which was most filled with adultery, this Tuma. Why? It came from the fact that these droplets, these Tomei droplets that came from Adam HaRishon at that time, fell into the land of Egypt. The mission of the Jewish people in spending that time that they spent in Golos was to redeem and to be able to fix up and take out from there this Kedusha that had fallen into the hands of Mitzrayim. In other words, these droplets that came from a Jew, from one of the biggest tzaddikim in the world, although they were released in a sense in a negative way, because they came from him, there was some Kedusha trapped inside there. As we mentioned today, the definition of the word Osur means trapped in there, something's tied in there. The mission of the Jewish people in going into Mitzrayim was to be able to take out that Kedusha. And that's why, that's the secret, the Arizal says, behind the concept of why the Jews, when they left Egypt, Hashem promised Avraham Avinu that when the Jews leave Egypt, they're going to leave with a lot of wealth. What's this concept of the Rechush Gadol, the fact that the Jews had to take out a lot of wealth from Egypt? Who cares? We need their lousy money. We want their filthy money. We make our own money. Who wants their garbage? The answer is this represented a concept of the Jews taking out of Egypt the wealth that had been trapped in Egypt. These nitzutzes of Kedusha, these sparks of Kedusha that were found in these droplets that Adam HaRishon had released, which were trapped in the land of Egypt. When the Jews went out of Egypt, they were zeichet to take this out with them. That's the concept. So now Rabbeinu Zal says, "Umachmazeh hoyo golus Mitzrayim." This was the reason for the Jews going to exile in Egypt. Ubenison nigalu. We know that the Jews were taken out of exile in the month of Nisan. Venestakein chet Adam HaRishon oz. When the Jews were taken out of Egypt to a tremendous extent, the sin of Adam HaRishon was fixed up completely. The pagam of Adam HaRishon was fixed up. Nimtza. So what do we see from this? Shebenison nischazek koyach hamalach. That Nisan is the month in which the power of the angel is strengthened twofold. We just proved it from two sources. Number one, we said that the Gemara says that Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for malachim, for kings, or any type of person who's in any type of appointeeship position, such as an angel. That's the month when his authority is renewed. So we see that Nisan is a month of strengthening of the Koyach HaMalach in that term. In the other way, we had mentioned before that what weakens the Malach? Pegam HaBris. Any type of bad thoughts or any type of impurity in terms of Tikkun HaBris, that's what weakens the Malach. That's what allows the Shade to take over, to give the person Tomei dreams at night, those types of things. The fact that Nisan is the month in which the Pegam of Adam Rishon was fixed up, when the Jews went out of Golas, that represented a fixing up of this type of Pegam. That's another proof as to why this is the month in which the power of the angel is strengthened very much. Rabbi Nizal says now, Nimtza Shebenison is Chazei Koyach HaMalach. Nisan is the month in which the power of the Malach is strengthened. Shezeh Bechinas Tikin Chet Odom Arishin. That's represented by the fixing up of this Pegam of Odom Arishin. Shenistakein Benison Be'ez Gulas Mitzrayim, which was corrected and fixed up specifically in the month of Nisan when the Jews were taken out of Mitzrayim. Vizeh Shekosuv. Now we understand another item. We find one of the psukim that the Torah writes about the Jews being taken out of Mitzrayim is, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you tell that paroi, v'hoitzesi es tzivoisai, that I'm going to take out my armies from Egypt. Note, this word tzivokos is never used about the Jewish people. The word tzivokos, throughout the Chumash, is always a nickname given to an angel. That's a nickname that's used referring to the armies of Hashem, the heavenly armies, the angels. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you tell Paroi that when the Jews come out of Golas, v'hoitzesi es tzivoisai, I'm going to take out my armies, referring to the angels. Rabbi Nizal says, b'chinas malochim sheyotzu v'nigalu benisam. This refers to the angels who are also taken out of a type of captivity, in a sense, during this month of Nisan. As the Jews were released from Egypt, which represented a fixing up of this item of Tikkun HaBris, this also caused a strengthening to the power of the angels, which was also being hampered and hindered by any type of Pegam HaBris, as we explained before in previous Shurim. Ki oz nizchasku v'nistaknu kanal. That was the month in which these angels were strengthened and fixed up. V'al kein, therefore, Iker hischachus horotzoin, the main rejuvenation of the desire of Hashem, of the will of Hashem. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, uchemitzbiye oved bechel shmaya, Hashem does as he desires with his armies in heaven, hu b'nisan. The main hischachus of the rotzoin of Hashem is also during the month of Nisan. Ki oz huzman tikun v'chizuk shalohem kana. Nisan is a time of strengthening and fixing up these armies of Hashem, the heavenly armies, the malochim, the angels. Rabbi Nizal says now, Avol gam b'chol hashono yecholim lechadish harotzayin al yidei simcha. However, you should know that a Jew has it within his capacity, within his power, to be able to do this not just during the month of Nisan, but to be able to do this at any time of the year. How? Through simcha. When a Jew brings himself to tremendous simcha, he's able to bring about this same type of effect that should normally only take place in Nisan. Why? Ka'idei ha-simcha noisnin chizuk b'hamalochim kanal. Rabbi Nizal said that simcha is also one of the items that gives strengthening to the angels. We said Leiv Sameach Yetiv Ponim Umalach Ponov Hoshion. Rabbi Nizal says Vazayin Nisayir Simcha B'Malochim Ki Ilu Nischadei Sharotzim. Then, when the Jew is in Simcha, he's able to arouse a Simcha by the angels, the same type of Simcha that they feel during the month of Nisan when their power is rejuvenated and renewed. Bebechina Suchemitzvei Ovi Bechel Shmaya. The Jew is able to generate this concept of Uchemitzvei Ovid Bechel Shmaya on that day, any day of the year, when he brings himself to this super level of Simcha. As though the angels had received their authority on that day. The same type of strengthening and fixing up that the angels feel during the month of Nisan, when their authority is strengthened, that same type of effect takes place when a Jew brings himself to a very high level of simcha, and with his simcha, he strengthens the power of these malachim, as we explained earlier. Avol, however, Rabbi Nizal says, still, Iker hischachus harotzein hu benisan. The main time when this will of Hashem, as is manifested by these angels, is strengthened is during the month of Nisan. Va'azai hu ikar chizuk shalem. That's the main time that they're strengthened. Va'azai benisan hayoroi sheizbatel hatuma anal legamri. And that's why the month of Nisan specifically should logically be a time when that tuma of pegama bris should be eradicated completely. Me'achar shenispakein v'nischazei koyach hamalach kanal. Because that's the time when the power of the angels is strengthened tremendously, it would be very logical that that should be a time, because these two are diametrically opposed to each other, the malach and the shade. The shade represents the dreams of tumah, the pigama bris, mikra laila chas v'shalom, that happens to a person at night. The malach represents the opposite of that, purity of mind, and specifically as is manifested in sleep. So Rabbi Nizal says, therefore, it would be appropriate that the month of Nisan specifically, more so than any other time, is a time of ridding the world or ridding oneself from this tumah of pegama bris. And that's why you'll note in the month of Nisan specifically, we have this Leil Shimurim, as it's called, the night of Pesach, when we don't even say most of our tefillos, we say a very shortened version of Kriya Shema Lamita. It's called Shimurim min hamazikin. That's the wording in the Gemara, where a person is protected from mazikin. Why? Because Nisan is the special time, especially Pesach, which is the day on which the Jews were taken out of Golus, that's the time when the Koyach of the Malach is strengthened very much, and this item of Pegama Bris, the difficulty at night, is weakened tremendously, therefore it's much more easy for us to overcome it. We don't have to say all the tefillos that we normally say, we're able to get away with less. Now we enter a new topic, sort of. Till now we discussed Pegama Bris, the difficulties that come up. Pegama bris means, chas v'shalom, any type of sin that a person commits in relation between men and women, either in thought, having any type of illicit or illegal thought, chas v'shalom, or speech, al tarbes sichon hoisha, speaking to a woman when he's not supposed to, or in a manner that he's not supposed to, or especially action, chas v'shalom, having any physical contact with a woman which is considered illegal, meaning whether she's if it's his own wife even, at a time that she's nidor, chas v'shalom, or something like that, or if she's not his own wife, either in touching or any type of physical act that would be considered not permissible. Now Rabbi Nizal says, so till now we discussed this tumah, chas v'shalom, this item that happens to a person at night, chas v'shalom, when a person has this type of accident at night, we discussed it as being a result of the fact that the power of the malach is too weak. What strengthens the malach? Simcha and or tikkun abris. But when the malach is too weak, that manifests itself in a person either having bad dreams at night, just plain bad dreams, or chas v'shalom, this type of accident, this type of sin occurring to the person at night when he's sleeping. Now Rabbi Nizal is going to discuss another problem that could manifest itself in this item by a person having this type of tumah at night, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal says, "Avol yesh shebo tumah hanal mebechinas acheres." There are times when this tumah comes through another route completely, completely different reason. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ki da, because you should know, shal yidei rabbonim v'dayonim she'inom ksherim, through the fact that there are rabbis or judges that are not kosher, chas v'shalom, she'oisin ivus hadin, they commit wrongdoings in judging between Jews, litigations, any type of situation that they're supposed to judge, al yidei zeh bo hatumah hanal chas v'shalom, that can also cause this type of tumah upon the Jewish nation, chas v'shalom. And Rabbi Nizal is going to explain why. Kal yidei ivus hamishpat, through any type of spoilage or wrongdoing in judgment, shehu b'chinois kisois lamishpat, we know that judgment is always associated with a throne. There's a pasuk in Tehillim which says kisois lamishpat, the throne of judgment. That's the terminology that's used. Hashem sits on his throne and judges the people. So Rabbi Nizal says, through a defect in the judgment, neiflim bechinas ahavois min hamerkava, that causes a concept of love or a concept of liking to fall from the throne of Hashem. Why? We're going to explain everything now. Ki kisois lamish. Let's pause to explain. there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim where the pasuk says about the throne of Hashem, Merkavoi Argamon, that the throne of Hashem is surrounded with purple wool, Taichoi Rotzuf Ahavo. The inside of the throne of Hashem is lined with love. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the representation here of the purple versus the love is always represented by whiteness. The Gemara tells us, how do the Jews know when Hashem is happy with them, when Hashem likes them? On Yom Kippur, the Jews used to hang up a special thread in the Beis Hamikdash, which was red. If it turned white, they knew that Hashem had purified them, that all their sins were forgiven. If it remained red, they knew that their sins were chas v'shalom, not forgiven. Remained red, they knew that their sins were not forgiven. So basically, red versus white, or purple versus white, or black versus white, any type of dark versus light, generally represents a concept of judgment versus kindness. In other words, harshness versus kindness. So we say that the throne of Hashem, on the outside, it's purple wool. It looks dark. It looks very foreboding, like a king. Royalty is generally, purple is a color of royalty. But the inside is lined with love. We would picture the inside of the throne of Hashem as being lined with white, representing love. Rabbi Nizal says here, now the concept of the throne, we said, represents judgment. When judgment is being conducted in a proper manner, the throne of Hashem is A-OK. Everything is fine with it. The outside is judgment, the inside is love, and everything is cool, everything's OK. When there is a spoilage, a defect in the Mishpat, what happens? As a result, in a sense, the walls of the throne of Hashem become broken, and this love leaks out. It leaks out, it spills out, and it falls below. It falls to a very low level. And how does it manifest itself? It manifests itself in people developing base desires, where people develop a love for something that should be disgusting, that should be revolting, that should be tamei. People develop a liking to that. Where does that liking come from? The answer is the concept of love originates from a very high source. It originates from within the throne of Hashem. The inside of the throne of Hashem is lined with a very pure love. That's the source of pure love, of a love of purity. So when a person has any desire of kedusha, a love for Torah, a love for mitzvahs, a love for Talmid Chachamim, a love for his own children, a love for Jews, a love for his own wife. Where does that love originate from? It stems from this concept of Ahava that exists by Hashem. It draws on the concept of love as it exists by Hashem. When we find that people have the wrong kind of desires, they desire excessive sleep, or they desire unkosher food, chas v'shalom, or they desire, chas v'shalom, unkosher women, that type of item, where does that come from? It comes from a spoilage in the Ahav of Kedusha. When the love within Hashem's throne is affected, it becomes defected, that spirals down, it falls down to this world, and it manifests itself by affecting us as Jews, where we develop a desire for what we're not supposed to like. We develop a desire, a love, for something that by nature we should not love. Rav Moshe Zal writes in the Kotei Halachos that a Jew whose neshama comes from heaven, it comes from Hashem, wouldn't it be logical to say that a Jew should, by nature, by inherent nature, he should love Torah, he should love mitzvot, he should love doing good things, and he should be repulsed by any type of sin or any type of bad thing? How is it that we find that Jews are filled with desires for the wrong things, and they have to fight this evil inclination, this desire for the wrong things, to become religious, to become a tzaddik, in other words, to be good? Why is that? Isn't it logical to say that the norm, what would come natural to a Jew, should be that he should only like what's good and he should dislike what's bad? Rabbi Nizal says that where does this come from? It comes from a spoilage, a defect in the throne of Hashem. How is this defect in the throne brought about? When there is a defect in the judgment that takes place on earth, those people who are put into a position of judgment on this earth, rabbis, judges, when their power of judgment becomes defective, they carry it on in a the wrong kind of manner, for the wrong reasons, in the wrong way, this, chas v'shalom, affects a pigam in heaven. It affects a pigam in the heavenly throne. And if we picture the heavenly throne as, let's say, a glass that's filled with love, toichoi rotzuf avo, the inside of the glass is love, the outside is this darkish color, purple, you know, royalty, din, hashmin. When this becomes spoiled, it becomes punctured, what happens is the avo, what was inside of this, leaks out. It leaks out, and it falls down, below, down into the levels of tumah. And that manifests itself by people developing desires for the wrong things. They develop a love for what they should not love, what they're not supposed to love.
Would the Ivas HaMishpat be synonymous with halacha that's not kamaisa?
That's one example of it, where a rabbi actually paskins law. One is a rabbi who conducts himself, you know, he holds court, and he doesn't know the proper laws. He dispenses halacha in an invalid manner. He makes the wrong person right and the right person wrong. That's one example of Ivas HaMishpat. We're going to be talking soon a little bit more about what he means exactly by this, Ivas HaMishpat.
But doesn't Rav Einzel say that many things come from Shemayim, like money or women, etc.?
Yes.
It's only how you receive it.
Correct.
A person uses money with douche, it's, you know, very high.
Correct.
So why shouldn't the same thing be here?
That
even though that this fall, it's nefilas ava, so it falls from there, so you say therefore it's because it spirals down, it gets bad to us.
Exactly.
So to someone who himself is pure, it should be good, shouldn't it?
Meaning, no. In other words, what happens is this affects the Jewish nation as a whole. In other words, if we picture the Jewish nation as an entity, as a whole organism, the minute some of this starts taking place, that there is this Ivus HaMishpat, it affects Chas V'Shalom a Pegam in the Merkava, and it causes this Ahava to fall down, and this splatters Chas V'Shalom in a sense on the Jewish nation. Now, those who are real tzaddikim are going to fight it. You know, they're going to be successful. They're not going to let themselves get affected by this. But this sort of puts a stain on the Jewish people. In other words, presents a test to the Jewish people in having these Ahavos Nefulos, these wrong kinds of Ahavos. Now let's go see the way he presents it inside.
I was thinking something interesting. In Nachman's time, the leaders of the Kehillah were observing Jews, Shomer, the Torah of Mitzvah.
Sure.
Now, the leaders of the community these days are the Rabbani, the Chachamim, are completely divorced from Torah values.
Many of them, unfortunately.
Right.
As the Gemara says, that's the wording of the Gemara. Be'ikvas b'neshicha, p'nei hador k'p'nei hakelev. The leader's ponim is the head. The top part of the body is going to be like a dog. The Gemara says that the main problem at the time of the coming of Mashiach is the fact that the leaders are going to be defective. All of this corruption among politicians, among leaders, in other words, not among regular people, low-level people, the corruption that we see today among leaders, that's a manifestation of what you're saying. On all levels, leaders, political leaders, chas v'shalom, community leaders, even among rabbanim, chas v'shalom. Yes.
So the leaders of today are more to tum.
So therefore
the community is more to
tum
because the leaders.
True, definitely. And it manifests itself in this type of tumah specifically. Today we find a hiskaparus of this type of tumah, pornography and all of these types of things, much stronger than ever before. And we're going to see soon how it's tied in to this spoilage in the judgment of the leaders. Okay, now let's see the way Rav Enizal words it inside now. Ukishenivgam hamerkava, we're starting from one line beneath where it says Shira Shirim Gimel in parentheses. Ukishenivgam hamerkava, when the throne of Hashem becomes nifgam, it becomes defective. Bebechinas kisa islamishpat, how? Al yedei ivus hadin, through a defect in the judgment, azai noifle mishom avos nefulos. Then they fall down. below, from the throne of Hashem, fallen loves. That's the wording. In other words, in Hebrew, it comes out much better. It's hard to define this in English. What it means is a fallen type of love, a wrong type of love, chas v'sham, an illegal type of love. V'alidei ho'avois hanafulois bo chas v'sham hachimum v'hatuma kanal. And it's through this fallen type of love, that's what brings this heating up, this passion within the person, this illegal type of passion for the wrong type of women, chas v'sham. We're going to hold it over here now. We're going to stop right over here, because now Rabbi Elazar is going to show the association between this spoilage of Mishpat and the tefillin, the concept of tefillin, which we spoke about before. We'll hold it over here for now. But for now, Rabbi Elazar is starting to represent an additional concept which could affect Pigam HaBris, specifically Chas V'Shalom, this item called Mikra Laila, Chas V'Shalom, this item of Keri.